Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is no guest at all. Richard and I will be discussing a number of things that have filled up our gamblingwithanedge at gmail.com inbox over the past several weeks. The MGM has announced there will soon be parking fees in its self-parking garages in Las Vegas. Bean counters attack again. So far, we haven't found out how big the fees are going to be and whether they will be reversed for players, hotel guests, or maybe hot women. Don't know. Since there are three MGM properties at the corner of the Trop and Strip, the fourth property, the Tropicana, which has just recently changed hands, now has a built-in advertising slogan of no parking fees. What has Las Vegas come to? What do you make it, Richard?
I just am constantly shaking my head at the what I consider to be idiotic decisions on the casino's parts. And this reminds me of a friend of mine who's lived here for 40 years or so. Now, this goes back maybe 10 years. She pulled into the valet at Mandalay Bay, and the valet said, "Are you a hotel guest?" And she said, "No." And she tried to hand him a $20 bill. And he said, "No, I'm sorry. We can only take hotel guests." And she said, "It's $20. And he said, "No, I'm sorry. We can only take hotel guests." And she said, "Is this still Las Vegas?" And you know, to me, that was the beginning of the slide. It's just going way progressively downhill ever since. And I just think they've forgotten the way the gambling business works. I think they're no longer thinking about it like the gambling business. They're now an entertainment, you know, destination that the gambling is kind of an afterthought.
I actually think this is going to hurt the entire city. There'll be players who live in Southern California who are sort of indifferent between driving to Vegas or visiting one of the Southern California casinos, which are closer but maybe not quite as sexy as Vegas. You add parking fees to Vegas, and that'll be enough to change some minds.
Yeah, I think it'll change some. Yeah, I agree. And it'll be interesting to see how the Tropicana deals with it, because they could say free parking here, or they could say, oh, well, they're kind of trapped on the corner. We can charge two. We'll charge less. Maybe we'll make some money. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they what they do. But if I was the Caesars properties, I'd certainly be, you know, tooting my horn loudly that we don't charge for parking.
All right. New subject. Last weekend, Richard and I had lunch with this guy who uses Twitter to keep up with video poker progressives. Two different casinos in his area, and he asked us not to reveal exactly where his area is, but I can tell you it's not Alaska. These two casinos tweet jackpot amounts every day. If playing progressives is your thing, either video poker or table games, you might want to check out whether such information is available where you play. It could be useful.
Yeah, that's really valuable information. Back in the online gambling days, you know, Ken Smith had a great website where he would give you the up-to-the-minute stats on every progressive jackpot at every online casino and all the video poker progressives as well. And with the video poker, at least, he would tell you when they crossed over into positive territory. Who knew that this information was available online?
It's actually Twitter in this particular case, but it could be not that many casinos tweet, But this is...
Well, they all tweet, but not that many, I think, tweet about their progressive jackpots.
But that's that is useful information both to the sharps and the squares.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure there are a few guys who already know about this and are taking advantage of it, sitting at home going, God damn it, don't say that on the air.
For those of you like that, this was Richard's idea. Yeah. All right, another new subject. We've gotten some emails from players who are considering moving to Las Vegas. They're already professional gamblers, so they want to be close to the mother load. I'll let you start this one off, Richard. Would this be a smart move?
Well, yeah, and I want to say that there were two things that kind of prompted this whole topic. A was a friend of mine who's moving here, and we get this kind of email question a lot. But also it was a comment that a player made on a forum where he sort of offhandedly said, you know, if you move to Las Vegas, it's pretty easy to pick up $50,000 a year. And when I first read that, it sort of struck me, and I thought, wow, is that true? You know, because I think there'd be a whole lot of people who'd be ready to pick up stakes and head to Las Vegas if that were true. And the more I thought about it, the more I came to the conclusion that the people who can come here and easily make $50,000 a year could probably make $100,000 or $150,000. You know, if with more work and a bigger bankroll, you know what I mean? Like for a guy who wants to read a book and come here and make $50,000, that I don't think is going to happen. But if you're already a skilled player of some sort, then yeah, I think it is pretty easy. I mean, this year, I had never played video poker before, and this year I maybe played 100 hours of video poker in the year. Certainly not 200, and I think I've accumulated like 25,000 in free play. Free play at drawing winnings, you know, loss rebates, things like that. Now, obviously, I generated some amount of negative EV to get that, but still, for so little amount of work, you know, that's
you're 25 ahead, or
no, that's how much I was actually given in free play, drawing winnings, and I haven't been in any big drawings. I'm just talking about little things.
And how much are you down to earn that much?
Well, but that's irrelevant because I think that's a figure that you can't really go by because a lot of what I'm doing is such high variance, right? I mean, I could be ahead 150 on that or I could be stuck 100 on that, right? Especially given that I play a lot of loss rebates. So I think, yeah, and that's just the video poker. That doesn't include any kind of table games at all. I think it's pretty easy if you want to bet small. I've said this many times, you know, that to make $50 an hour, I think at blackjack is pretty easy, and you should be able to get in a lot of play before you start getting thrown out of everywhere. So, excuse me while I turn off my phone. So somebody who, as you say, already has some skills, I think they can pretty easily, you know, make that $50,000 a year. I don't know. What do you think?
I think when it comes to video poker, I don't think that's true at all. Now, the numbers that I'm going to say are about how much you can make are going to be wild-ass guesses because exactly how much anybody makes outside of me, I don't really know for sure. And the way everybody keeps track of wins and losses is always a little bit different. So no two video poker players fill out their taxes in exactly the same way. But here are my best wild-ass guesses. There's probably 30 or more greater Las Vegas area residents earning $50,000 a year at video poker.
Or more? Or
no, 30, 40 people. Not zero, but not a lot either. There's probably another 200 earning between 10 and 50, and another, you know, 300 or 400 earning between 0 and 10.
Well, wait, what about people who are earning more than 50?
They would be included in the 30 people.
Okay.
There'd be 30 people about earning 50 or more. And there's 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 people trying to be in this small number.
Mm.
And some of the ones that don't make it are pretty good players. There's, like, a lot of the profits come from drawings. But drawings have really high variance. You can get a $20,000 car once every 15 years. But that's, but 14 or out of the 15 years, you've entered the drawings and gotten nothing. That would affect your average, but not your money.
Yeah, that's why I think it's better to kind of look at EV than actual results.
And the people who earned $50,000 in 2015 and the people who earned it in 2014 and the people who earned it in 2013, now there's a few names that are on all three of those lists, and there's more names that are on two of those lists. But there are some people who only made it once. And so it fluctuates every year. We're playing with like a 0.5% advantage on the bigger games. And so the difference between, 50.25 and 49.75 is pretty skinny. And it can really fluctuate a lot. Now, when you're, for me personally, in two out of the last 5 years, I've ended up with negative scores. Now, I'm not asking for your sympathy, and the other three, I'm fine. But it can have a pretty big variance. And I'm a better than average player, and I have better than average contacts. For those of you who are moving here, you're competing against players who already know what games are in all the casinos. They already know, generally speaking, what promotion South Point will run in December, or Palms will run in March, or somebody else will run in June. So we already know that when they have this kind of promotion, well, these games are over here, and so we can take advantage of them. That's a lot of built-up information that you're going against. And we're all after the same kind of thing. So most of the bigger players who are successful, including myself, in addition to playing regularly in Vegas, go out of town several trips a year to play in other locations. Because on a short-term basis, the games in other locations are better than the games in Vegas.
Now, actually, I have to agree that I think in general that's true also of table games. Like, Vegas is not the best place to move to be a full-time pro, other than the fact that there are so many casinos here, and you don't have to. If you want, you can just camp out here. But with table games too, there is the most amount of heat here. I mean, a lot of the games are just really, traps right now, where you're going to get flyered as soon as you sit down and start betting any kind of money. And Vegas is really bad. Well, first of all, the strip casinos have really just made the games on the strip terrible. You know, the blackjack, so much of it now in the strip casinos is 8-deck, 6-to-5. You know, you have to go into the high limit room to find a 3-to-2 game at all. And then, as I say, they know how to count cards now. They've figured that out. You're just in Vegas, you're just not going to fool them for long if you're betting, big money. If you're small enough that they don't care, it's not that you're fooling them, it's just that you're betting small enough that they don't care, which, I mean, that can still be a fair amount of money, but yes, I agree with your point that Vegas is not the best place. And most of what I hear about video poker, if there's a lot of video poker players that live in other places are telling me that they're having much better games there than what they would find here in Vegas, or much better mailers.
Another point to make is, before you move here, take some 3 to 10 day vacations on a reg, or take some 10 to 20 day vacations here and see how it is. It's a whole lot different playing 3 days at a time when you get to fly back home and go back to whatever your real world is than it is to live here 24/7. It's kind of like the difference between sex on a first date and somebody you've been married to for 12 years. It's not the same animal at all.
Right. Well, and that's why, you know, as I say, I played maybe 100 hours of video poker just because, yeah, I'm not willing to go out and grind at it like that. But I think to really be successful, you have to play more than one thing.
Yes.
You know, and if I think that the guy who had made that post about it being easy to pick up 50,000, if you have friends in the business and you are here and are available, things are going to come up. You're going to get involved in maybe doing some sports betting and, you know, playing some table games, and you play some video poker, and you know what I mean? There are other things to... there are other opportunities for you to make money, you know, besides just the whatever your one game is to start with.
And another factor is, do you have a backup plan?
Yeah.
Is there a wife or somebody at home who has a vote as to whether or not you do this?
Yeah. Well, that brings up sort of another question that I get asked a lot about this.
Okay.
And that is, you know, as I posted on our Facebook page, you know, if you on your first date, if you tell them you're an advantage player, are you ever going to get a second date? In my experience, usually no. I mean, there are not many women who understand the concept of gambling for a living. And your article this week, the Las Vegas Advisor, was kind of about that, right? When you were
at least part of it, yeah.
Yeah. You want to talk about how Bonnie reacted when you met her to your living, how you made a living?
Well, there have been two separate ladies that I was married to Shirley for 17 years, and I met her while living here, and then that fell apart, and then now Bonnie. In my particular case, both ladies were the fact that I was willing to take them dancing on a regular basis, and that I was good at the Texas two-step was far more important than whether or not I was a gambler or not.
You know, this is actually quite a positive EV move from because I know another guy who met his wife that way. I guess there are not a lot of men who are out there dancing.
That's true. And
When I was young and single and I lived here, I found Vegas to be a horrible place to try to meet women. I met a lot of blind, crippled, and crazy.
Which one of those three things bothered you the most?
mostly emotionally crippled. But I tried a lot of different things to try to meet what I thought would be the kind of women that I'd be interested in. You know, so I went to UNLV and took classes, met a lot of nice girls who were like 19 years old. I was, you know, quite a number of years older than that, so that wasn't a good thing. You know, I had a friend who's like, oh, you want to meet smart women? Go to Mensa meetings. So I went to a Mensa meeting. Now, I was, you know, 25 or something. I went to this Mensa meeting here in Vegas, and, you know, there was like 16 men and one woman who was fat and 50. So, yeah, that was also not a – but I didn't try dancing. Maybe that was the key.
Well, that's positive EV, but that's not for everybody. I learned that way back when, that a guy who knows – how to dance well never has to sleep alone if he doesn't want to. Let's talk about a related something else you said, that a guy who can make $50,000 a year gambling could probably make more money doing something else.
Well, I also think he could make more money gambling, but yeah, I think what I said is most advantage players that I know could make as much or more money out in the real world. And people used to ask me this, right? They would say, uh-huh, man, if you can do this, you'd be able to make a lot more money if you went into whatever. And my response to that was always, why would I want to? You know, when I was 13, My father was a lawyer in Chicago, and one summer I worked in his law office, and I would take the train down to the Loop, and the train station, you had to come out of the train station and go to either side, and there were bridges across the Chicago River. And I came out, and the people were – there were just thousands of people like ants crossing those bridges from the train station.
Uh-huh.
And I said to myself, I will never, ever do this with my life. I would rather kill myself than be one of those people marching to work every day, you know, in their suit and tie and, you know. So
a lot of people make those statements, and then they end up being those ants without killing themselves.
Yeah, you know, and I saw my friends when I was younger get trapped. You know, they would get some job, and then suddenly they felt like they couldn't quit because they were earning this money.
Right.
And, you know, and I was in the arts, so I was like, man, I don't want that to happen to me. You know, I'm not going to make the mistake of making a lot of money in a job.
Oh, that was clever.
Yeah, my parents would love that idea. But
Now, I have a somewhat different take on it. To be a successful gambler, you need a certain amount of smarts. You need an IQ. You need to be educated about the game or games you're playing, but you don't need to be educated in any way that relates to a job. Most employers want people with specific skills, not just IQ. Although there's some exceptions. A large number of not quite successful enough professional gamblers end up dealing cards, driving a cab, waiting at tables, or maybe taking a sales job somewhere. Now, if you graduated from MIT...
Those sound like poker players, by the way.
Well, if you graduated from MIT, those are blackjack players, or other prestigious schools, you'll have plenty of opportunities that the rest of us don't. Many gamblers have college degrees on their resumes, but many don't. It all comes down to, like Richard was saying, what do you want to do? When I moved to Vegas in 1993, for the first couple of years, I was making about 10 grand. But I loved it. This is what I wanted to do. Money won from a casino was just so much more satisfying than drawing a paycheck. Your mileage can vary. I had to shift from blackjack to video poker. I tell people that when I was trying to learn video poker, I was willing to work very, very hard so I didn't have to get a job. Now they laugh and they say it's a cute line, but I'm dead serious. Having to get a job after being a professional gambler is psychologically devastating. It would be an admission that I couldn't make it on my wits. It took hard work, little help from my friends, and probably a certain amount of luck that I don't know how to measure. But eventually I learned how to make it here in Vegas as a gambler. Didn't have to turn out that way. I do have other sources of income, you know, from writing, teaching, radio show, etc. But I hope very, very much I never have to go get a full-time job.
Well, at this stage of your life, I wouldn't think that that would be a very real possibility.
I know. There aren't a lot of good jobs for 68-year-olds.
Yeah.
And somebody who's been a professional gambler for 30 years, most employers would be wary of hiring them because they would figure there's going to be some days that you're going to come in dog tired because you've been out gambling for 12 hours all night long, and your job was never going to be your first love, no matter how much I promised differently in the interview.
Well, I also think that people that have been doing it 30 years must have been successful, or they wouldn't still be doing it. You know, I mean, I guess there are some of these guys out there that I call fleas that, you know, are there scrounging, you know, nickel Ultimate X multipliers and stuff, but. I mean, most people I know, if they've been doing it, if they're not successful at it, most people get out of it. So if you've been doing it this long, you know, I know you've been very successful, so I can't see you going broke.
Well, I'm not going to go broke unless something happens to the economy as a whole. I could see the United States or world economy tanking and whatever money I have invested in the stock market and stuff.
under those circumstances, I could see a lot of us going broke.
Yeah, but then we have bigger problems.
Then you have bigger problems in that. But there's...
You know, there's one other thing I want to say. The most important thing, I think, is what on Survivor they call the social game.
Yeah.
The better your social game is, the more successful you're going to be. Because as I was saying
before... Well, that's true in every job, or most jobs.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Well, not every job. I mean, if you have a job like, you know, accountant or whatever, where you're just sitting there crunching numbers for someone, it's not that big a deal, you know. But... but in this kind of thing, the more people you know, the more opportunities you're going to be presented with. I mean, assuming you're not an asshole anyway. You know, if you know lots of people and they all hate you, well, then that isn't going to but, you know, the more friends you have, the more time somebody's going to call you up and say, hey, we're putting together, you know, this thing to go whatever, you know, a money-making opportunity that you might get included in. Just based on how well you're liked.
And hopefully when that happens, you're smart enough to figure out which ones are the scams and which one have a real chance.
Yeah.
Because you will get a lot more offers than you're wise to take.
You know, I should also say that the vast majority of gamblers that I know mm-hmm. that then... took the money they earned gambling and put into some business. Most of them lost whatever the money was. That, you know, when they went out and tried to do some other business, most of the people I know lost money at the outside businesses, and then would go back to, and myself included. You know, I lost money in the movie business. You know, lost opportunity costs too. I mean, sometimes I was just a director for hire or whatever, and then that's fine. But, you know, when I had my own company and all that, ultimately we lost money. So.
There are players, though, who burn out. We've had, when Josh Axelrod was on the show, his book is called, you know, Repeat Until Rich. And it's like, he kept doing the same thing over and over and over again, and finally it was just boring, monotonous, no meaning in life, blah, blah, blah.
You know, I've had two people in the last week that I know who are sort of suffering from this right now. Yeah, and especially in the blackjack world where you're constantly on the road. I mean, to be really successful, you have to be constantly traveling, you know, and boy, for me, that got old. That got really old. And so, yeah, I know two people who right now are suffering very much from that burnout. They just, the thought of getting on another plane and going to another hotel room. And to me, it's worse for them than I thought it was for me, because I was always traveling with somebody, which, you know, helps. But still, even that, you know, it's very easy to get burned out. And I think you just, what I tell my son, you know, is, you know, gambling isn't your life. Your life is your life, and this is just a way to make money. You know, but you have to have something else in your life besides this to just to be happy or to, you know, because, yeah, otherwise it's just too much of a grind.
Yeah, I was chatting with a guy at the gym today, and he is a video poker player who, I don't know for exactly, probably averages 15 or 20 a year. But it's a everyday grind out, and he plays fairly low stakes and long hours, and it's a grind, it's a grind, it's a grind.
Wow.
And so now he's thinking about moving somewhere else. So he moved to Las Vegas originally because... lower taxes, cheaper to buy a house. There's a lot of good reasons, but he now is thinking, well, maybe the grass wasn't as green as he thought it was.
Yeah, you know, and I should say about the video poker that I'm playing, a big part of that for me now, currently, isn't the money, it's the comps. You know, I want to be able to take my wife to dinner and nice places and get show tickets and, you know, stuff like that, and not pay for it, you know.
Yes.
And make money at the same time, but But I'm, you know, as I say, I'm not out there grinding because...
You're not out there grinding, and you have a big advantage over most other players in that you know a lot of successful video poker players and who are giving you some hints of, you know, this would be a good idea for you to do.
Yes, are you, yes, you, that helps tremendously. Yep.
And not everybody has those contacts. I would venture to say very few people have the same contacts Richard does. All right. If you're listening live, the World Series is about to start. They had some interesting prop bets in the newspaper about different prop bets you can make. It didn't say what casino you could make them at. The one I found most, two I found most interesting is it was 100-1 you could bet whether or not there would be a streaker at one of the games.
Right. 9-1 just for someone to run out on the field. 100-1 if they're naked.
And even better, 5,000-1 if they, if a streaker lands on the field having jumped in a parachute from an airplane.
Right. Right.
Now,
which, I mean,
that sounds like an opportunity. It's like...
well, that's more expensive. But even at 9-1, I mean, if you could get some serious money down, I mean, how bad, how much, I bet you could get a guy to go streak across the field pretty cheap.
Well, or 1,000, you know, 5,000-1, you know, like, let's get $1,000 down on this. And, you know, you got to hire a plane and a parachute, and that isn't that much. And you probably have to spend 30 days in jail. But when you get out, you got $5 million. So, you know.
Well, first of all, you wouldn't do it yourself.
Well,
you know, you got to hire somebody to do it.
Well, I don't know. I don't think there's a whole lot of demand to see a 68-year-old ding-a-ling. But, but however you do it, there just seems to be such good proper alternatives. Which probably means, well, the max you can get down is $10 or something.
Right, right. Yeah, I'd love to. I should probably do that. Just go into one of these joints and see. I want to bet 5,000 on the parachute streaker and see what they say.
And yeah.
You're right. They'll probably take $10.
And 9-1 on somebody running onto the field. That seems like a. It seems like the wrong price.
Well, I mean, I was thinking at 9-1, they might actually take some serious bets. You know, if you could spread around, you know, a number of places and get money down on that. I mean, it can't cost you much to have a guy streak on the field. A few $100s, I mean, you know.
I don't know.
Plus the cost of the ticket. I guess he's got to have a ticket to the game. That might be the most expensive part.
And he's got to be willing to spend... So much time in jail.
What? Overnight, maybe? I don't know. Even that, are they really going to arrest the guy and put him in jail?
Probably, yeah. They actually probably are. And I, if I were a streaker, I wouldn't want to meet Bubba in my jail cell. Sorry. All right. We talked about whether or not you should announce that you're an advantage player on a date. What if you're married now and you know your wife knows what you're going to do and you're thinking about coming to Vegas? Now, in my case, I was already a successful professional in this business before I got hooked up with either Shirley or Bonnie. But there are times when people became an advantage gambler after maybe 20 years of marriage. How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think if you're just starting out, or if you're fairly new to it, it's going to be a lot harder sell, right, to your wife. Whereas with me, I was a gambler when my wife met me, you know, and one of the reasons I married her was she just understood, like, this is a business. You're not a degenerate. And most women don't get it, but for some reason, my wife got it. And so coming to Vegas for us, I mean, we'd already been married 20 plus years, so it wasn't really a big issue. But if you're somebody who just recently has learned how to play and you've been playing, and even if you can go to your wife and say, look, you know, I'm keeping records. Here's the money I'm winning. Let's move to Vegas, honey. Man, I think that'd be a tough sell for a lot of, you know, a lot of wives. Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
Another question I guess get asked, where should I live? You know,
what part of town?
What part of town, yeah.
Okay.
Now, I have a friend who's moving here next month. Okay. And, you know, the short answer is usually Henderson or Summerlin. You know?
Yes. For those non-familiar with Henderson is southeast of Vegas. Summerlin is northwest.
Yeah. And my friend actually is sort of artsy and funky. And I said, you know, you also might want to consider near downtown, where there are older homes. A lot of the artists have moved in down there. And this particular friend, you know, she likes that kind of thing. So, like when she lived in L.A., she lived in Silver Lake, which is, you know, kind of the artsy, funky area, you know. So, but I actually think if you want a short answer, then Summerlin or Henderson, and it seems like more people with kids tend to go to Summerlin. And I'd include Green Valley in with Henderson. They're right next to each other.
Yeah.
But there are pockets all over that are...
And I would pick one. I would pick a home close to a freeway. There are, if you're going to be at a lot of different casinos, Vegas is a big place, and yeah. you need to be able to get around. Now, and so decide which casinos you're going to be playing at. Now, for video poker, you can know which casinos you're going to play at, which has the best games. For blackjack, it's all of them. So so it's tougher.
You're going to be moving around a lot.
But yeah. You need to, you know, hooking up in Boulder City or something, which is 15 miles away and might have a better quality of life for kids. You're driving a lot of freeways.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So for my wife, it was important to be close to Seafood City, which is
City.
The fish market.
Right.
So everybody has their own, you know.
I would have thought you would have ended up closer to Chinatown and those markets than you did.
Well, Seafood City is just the other side of the freeway that from Chinatown. So, yeah, we're not that far from Chinatown either. So,
we got an email, gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com, concerning Harrah's or Caesars. Where this guy has a lot of reward credits and is thinking about cashing them in and wants to know if he should or not.
Right. I mean, because of the bankruptcy. And we've talked about this before. But actually, something that I would ask you, even if we were off the air,
okay.
is I don't understand why people... accumulate a ton of these anyway. If you can cash them out for cash, I know you pay some premium or whatever, but
uh-huh.
if you can download them for free play, I mean, I have lots of stories of guys who had their points stolen from them. So
yes.
why you would let them accumulate, I don't understand in the first place.
All right, a couple reasons for that. First of all, if you're seven stars, it's either a 20 or 25%. Premium, depending on which side you do it on. It takes $500 worth of points to get $400 of free play. There's currently a maximum of 500 per day. And so if you have several thousand, it's going to take a while, but you can do it. Now, for me, when I redeem the free play, that's a taxable event. I'm recording the free play I get and the front money and various things as income, which I think is the proper way to do it. If it's still being saved, then it's not a taxable event. So if you are ahead at the end of the year, there's no reason, perhaps, to download $8,000 worth of accumulated, because that's just more taxes. Whereas if you were behind, you might as well download it now, because you don't get any benefit from having any tax benefit from having these losses.
I'd be afraid to let that much accumulate, just because, you know, being a blackjack player, I'm paranoid that at some point they're just going to throw me out and take all and steal all my money. You know,
well, that is possible to happen. Some people use it as a bank account. They're their brother's getting married, and I want to throw him a big party at Caesar's Palace next September. And so I'm saving all my reward credits between now and then so I don't have to pay cash for it.
I see.
So yeah. There are those kind of reasons. It's also a lot harder to earn those credits than it used to be. The games are a lot tighter there. A lot of us who played a lot in Las Vegas at Caesar's property in the not-so-distant past aren't playing here anymore. And whatever Caesars were doing, we're playing elsewhere.
But not just Caesars. I mean, what about other places too? I mean, like at stations, right? You can download your points for free play right there on the machine.
Yes, and you can do that at Palms and at South Point and M and
right. So
most of the casinos.
Yeah, so why would you let them accumulate then? Or at least, I mean, I keep, you know, $100 or $200 or something on there. But
an additional reason at Caesars to download everything is, let's say you have $500 worth of points that you could download if you wanted to, but you have them there. And you go up and you ask for a comp. You will frequently be told, use your points first. If your points have ground down to zero or close to it, then they can start comping you. So that's a reason to spend your comps independent of the bankruptcy, independent of whether or not they're going to steal them from you, independent of anything else. That if you can keep it down to zero, you will get more comps if you ask for them. If you have a balance, you get fewer comps. So when you can download it for free play, you can zero it out fairly quickly if you're there.
Yeah.
So I will be at a 5-day stay early in January, and you can bet every day I will do $500 a day until it's gone.
That seems crazy. They have that limit, right? If you and especially if you download 500 and lose it, you would think they would want you to download more, right, and keep playing.
Well, they would prefer you spend it in their hotel rooms and their restaurants and their bars than in gambling money.
Yeah.
Apparently the return in the restaurants is better for them than the return in the casino.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually.
So every time now I'm at a Caesars, but it trips you. So if you don't want to go in and do it on days that you're not playing, or that hurts your offers down the road. But it's but doing it when you're playing anyway, I would get down close to zero if I could. All right, let's do some commercials while Richard's thinking of something else we can talk about until our time is up.
Checking my Twitter account at RWM21 for questions coming in.
The South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. That's more than anybody else has. Promotion October, it actually ends tomorrow, is called Swipe, Spin, and Win. Earn 300 points a day, Sundays through Wednesdays, and spin the virtual wheel. Today I got, Bonnie and I each got $25 in free play, which is the second best prize. There is a $50 free play option. We got that four times over the course of the promotion. It can go down as low as $2,500 points, which is worth $7.50. Free video poker class tomorrow is NSU Deuces Wild. NSU is a 99.7 game. It's basically even money 24/7 at the South Point because they have a 0.30 slot club. On double point days, you're at a 0.3 advantage. And this is in addition to the mailers and the promotion. In next week, we're going to have advanced NSU. So advanced NSU covers every last penalty card situation. And it isn't any Deuces Wild game. There's a lot of those. So if you want to consider playing at a very high level and come to the class next week, pretty much you're forced to
come to the class this week as well, or at least to have knowledge at that level. When we have the advanced class next week, we're going to presume that you play at least at the intermediate level, and that level of knowledge is going to be presumed. And if that's way above what you already know, you're going to get lost quickly. At the Palms, every Friday there's a drawing. 10 people get drawn for a total of $10,000. Top prize is $3,000. You don't need to be there, but you do need to redeem it before midnight or it goes away. They have multiple drawing entries on Friday nights and also Friday afternoons. For one more Saturday in October, Valentine's Day, there's going to be double points on video poker, 10 times points for slots between 7 and 10 p.m. PFP, play for prizes, for this week up until Friday, it's going to be Macy's gift cards. Macy's gift cards are earned at the rate of 0.2% for video poker or 2.0% for slots. VideoPoker.com is the best place to play lots of games. If you have the gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, it gives you correction on a lot of the games. This week's contest is Ultimate X. Ultimate X is a two-part game. You pay 10 coins per line. It's usually found in triple play, five play, or 10 play. It can be in single line, or theoretically it could be at 100 play. That'd be a hell of a game. Every time you score on a line, you get a multiplier on that same line for the next hand. So when this hand is over, completely over, if you scored at all, you might have a 2x on the fourth line and a 7x on the sixth line and a 12x on the 10th line. And so whatever you get on the next line, if you can get the score on those particular lines, it is multiplied. The strategy is not trivial. It is based both on playing the base game and on what the multipliers are. So to figure everything out exactly, it's kind of uses a Markov chain situation. It's non-trivial for most of us. The Wizard of Odds has several games analyzed, and so that's the strategy that most players use when it is on it. Unfortunately, it doesn't have Deuces Wild on his website, and there are some good Deuces Wild Ultimate X games out there, and people are scrounging for that. So that's a different game.
All right. So one of our listeners tweeted at us. He said, one concern about moving to Vegas is the apparent high crime rate for such a small town. Uh-huh. First of all, Vegas Valley is 2 million people. I would not call it a small town. Also, I don't know. This doesn't bother me at all. I think certainly if you look at the crime rates in Henderson and Summerlin, I don't think they're high at all. I think you'll find that there are pockets of high crime rate. But yeah, this is just something I never worry about. I mean, I'm careful when I leave casinos, especially if I'm carrying money. But I'm really not worried about the crime rate here. I think one thing that's really dangerous here is I'm more worried about running over a pedestrian. There's so much jaywalking in this town, and it seems like at least once a week I see on the news somebody got killed while they were jaywalking. But I don't know. Do you find this to be a high crime town?
No, I don't. And we live in a safer than average neighborhood. And I have since I've been here, and you pay extra for those neighborhoods. There are gated communities. We're not in a gated community, but there are some communities with a higher rate than others. But there are some places in Vegas that I would not feel real comfortable living. It's a problem everywhere in the world, everywhere in the country, everywhere in the world. But Vegas, not so much. I don't lose any sleep over that.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I'm also in a good neighborhood, and but yeah, as you say, there are pockets. There are neighborhoods, you know, you wouldn't want to go walking down the street at 2 in the morning. But, you know, I mean, I grew up near Chicago, so anybody who's grown up near a major city, I think, feels the same way, right? Like in L.A., if you live in, you know, Bel Air, you're going to feel safe. And if you live in Compton, maybe you're not.
Yeah. Well, there's a different level of risk in, Compton is a largely black area. And so I don't really want to get into the racial aspects of it. But Beverly Hills and Bel Air, that's where the rich folks live. And so for an intelligent burglar would better break into a home in Beverly Hills than a house in Compton.
Yeah, sure.
And so there's a different kind of crime. There's a different level of situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're moving here from a farm in Iowa, then, you know, it's going to look like the big bad city, you know, with a lot of crime. And if you're moving here from a major city in the United States, I don't think it's going to faze you.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
The as it turns out, tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, Richard and I are going to be doing an interview with Dewey Tomko, and that's going to be broadcast November 10th, which is 2 weeks from today. Dewey is one of the old time gamblers. He's been a poker player, golfer for like almost 50 years. He and I are the same age. Well, actually, he's 3 months older than me. But he's been, so he has great stories. So we're really looking forward to this. Do you got your Dewey questions ready, Richard?
Yeah, I got a few. I what's funny is I, you know, sort of send out an email blast asking people to send me Dewey stories to ask him about. And it seems like more of them came back, oh, here's a great story, but you can't ask him about it on the air. So, the good thing is he's one of those guys who likes to tell stories. So, you know, I don't think we'll have a hard time coming up with stuff to talk about.
And you get, he gives, you ask him, well, you know, what was the biggest amount you played for at golf on these, you know, when golf hustling? And his answer will be something like, well, bunches of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, very good. So we got about 30 seconds left. How do people get a hold of us?
Well, send us your questions at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com, or you can put them on our Facebook page, facebook.com/gamblingwithanedge, or you can tweet them to me at RWM21. If you want the show delivered to you automatically every week, you can sign up to do that at iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or at my site, richardmunchkin.com. And to get an archive of all of our old episodes, you can find that at bobdancer.com.
Very good. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good night.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com. and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.